You have hands, you have ears, you have a physical body, but then we have a soul, which is kind of built from the relationship between our physical being and our spirit, and your soul is the seat of your mind, your emotions, and your will. And this is how we're made, and God is interested in all of us. Now, it was perfect at one stage, and we're going to explain to you now, some of you have seen this already, I'm afraid, but I think this is a great demonstration to show you what happened, and I need about 6 volunteers. So you can be a child, you can be a grown up, you can be anybody, you can get on. So, first of all, someone to be God. Who's going to be God? Volunteer for God. Come on, guys, if you're going to make this work, you're going to have to get involved. Right, we're family. Okay, we're going to have God. Are you comfortable being on a chair to be God? You're going to have to stand on a chair. So here's God. Olga is God. Are you all right, sir? Yeah, if you're all right. Okay. Okay. Now I need 3 people to be a person. So I need a spirit, a soul, and a body. Come on, then. Well done. Anybody else? Yes, great. So you can stand behind just here. So you will be the spirit of man, okay? You can be the soul of man. And I need someone who's willing to kind of... Are you going to join us, Zach? Are you okay kneeling, Zach? Can you kneel down? Okay, great. So if you come. And in a minute, I'm going to need Jesus and the devil. Anyway, so if you kneel down here. Now, in the Garden of Eden, we were in a relationship with God. Everything was perfect, right? Okay, so if you put your hands here, you put your hands here, you put your hands on him, okay? So, we were connected to God through our spirit. It says in Genesis, we walked in the garden with God. We knew God, we were connected, everything was perfect, nothing was wrong. But what happened in the garden?
The fall.
There was the fall, yeah. Sin. We were tempted. God said one thing in the garden we couldn't have. We chose to take it. So we need someone to be kind of the devil. Who wants to be the devil? Come on, then. Yes, Alan, well done. You're not really. Okay, no one is imbibing anything in you. It's all right. All right, so Satan came along and whispered in the soul of man. Okay, and God planned to believe that God was holding something out. So man was tempted, he broke the relationship with God. And so his spirit sat down, so can you kind of crouch down a little? And so now, we're not connected to God as we should be. So now, Satan can whisper in our ear all kinds of stuff. And basically, because we have these unmet needs like acceptance, significance, security, all those things we find somewhere else instead of in God. Okay, and we're being tempted all the time. Okay, but what happened? Who wants to be Jesus now? Yes, come on, Rosa's going to be Jesus. Yes, we have Jesus coming. Here comes Jesus.
I have a feeling this is
going to
go bad for me.
I'm sorry, I don't have a
you now. Ultimately, because of this situation, God didn't just want to leave us disconnected and separated. He came as Jesus in the form of a man, God made man, and he died on the cross to take all of those things on himself and to reconnect us with God. So, Rosie, you've got to boot out Satan. And then, because if we ask Jesus into our lives again, we're born again, it says in spirit in the scripture. It says you have to be born again of the spirit and of water. And so when we're born again, Jesus stood up our spirit and reconnected us again to God. Does that make sense? Okay? And so really, this is how it should have been all along, but because of the fall, we're disconnected, but Jesus was the one who came to restore that. Now, hopefully, for young people, for everyone, you understand this is how it should be. But we can be sick or broken in any of these areas. So in our minds or in our emotions, in our spirit, and it can affect those different areas of lives. And sometimes those things are interconnected. But God wants healing for the whole person, yes? And he came on the cross. There's a Greek word called sozo, big word for kids. But basically it means a salvation, but it's a whole salvation. It's not just what we talk about, forgiveness and eternal life. It's also a healing, it's a freedom, it's all the things that he's done for us. So, later on as well, when I come to talk about identity, this is going to be important because our spirit is really important when we come to talk about that later, which I'll explain. But anyway, give everyone a clap. Thank you. Appreciate your help there. Okay. So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about identity. We're going to look at it from a couple of perspectives. But the first question that I'll ask you, and this is a rhetorical question you don't have to answer. I did think about going around and asking people. But I think people will give me the right answer, because we're in church. If I was to ask you, who am I? Okay, what kind of answers would I get? Now, probably because we're in church, a lot of people would say, I'm a child of God. Yes, good. That's the right answer. But if you went outside, a lot of people would say, well, my job is this. You know, I'm an architect, I'm a doctor, I'm a whatever you might be. Or you might say, I'm a mum, I'm a sister, or I'm a brother, I'm a father, I'm a... whatever you kind of do. Or you might even start telling us your hobbies. Oh, I like to go on a bike ride, or I like to play rap music. I don't know. Anyway, all those things are things we might say about who we are, but they're not necessarily the essence of who we are. And today as well, now, I don't want anyone to go away thinking he said this or he said that, because there's so much stuff out there that gets misinterpreted. So try and hear the whole context of what I say this morning. That bit I said earlier, because that's important, and what I'm going to say now. When you look at the world, there's many people talking about certain ways we should be, okay? And when we talk about the LGBTQI+, I hope I've got that right, we talk about different kind of sexualities, okay? Now, we have lots of kids in youth this morning. At school, you'll have heard about these things, because I think you get taught in year six, so you've heard it. And for parents, if you're feeling uncomfortable, kids can leave, but I'm telling you, in the classroom, they'll be talking about this. In the playgrounds, they'll be talking about this stuff. It's massive, okay? And what I want to say is God loves everyone. There's two extremes of the way people deal with these kind of identity issues. One is to completely deny them, be horrible to people, be dismissive. That's not the Christian way. There's another way where we don't speak any truth. There has to be a middle way. What did Jesus do when he spoke into stuff? He spoke grace and truth. He showed love. He spoke truth. And I hope this morning we can do that as we speak about this stuff, okay? Because Jesus loves us and loves us all. And when he speaks about our identity, he says we're a child of God, which is the right answer. But a lot of what we see in society today, when I've mentioned that, is we identify with who we choose to be with. Does that make sense? So we say my identity is in who I choose to sleep with. And really, I want to shift the question. Because I think that's the wrong question. We shouldn't be identifying ourselves merely by saying, this is who I prefer to be attracted to. Our question should be, who I am in light of God. And so in some ways, that question is the wrong question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I think, and often we have all kinds of discussions around this thing, but I think really the question should be, well, who am I? And it's not necessarily just because I'm with a significant other. It's about who you are in the sight of God and what he did for you. Does that make sense? And we're going to think about that a little bit this morning, okay? So firstly, I want to give us some clarity. So I'm going to say what I am not and try and give us some clarity. So I've said that. Our identity shouldn't be in another person. Are we asking the wrong question when we declare our identity based on who we choose to be with? That's a good question, isn't it, I think. Is that the wrong thing that we've been asking? And so then, I'm going to look a little bit about this, okay? I've mentioned that you will have learnt this stuff in school, those of you youth. You'll have discussions, you'll see stuff online. I'm absolutely convinced, okay? And God does talk into this area, and I think if we avoid the topic as a church, we're failing. Mm-hmm. If we don't talk about these stuff, the information will be given from other situations and other circumstances and might be the wrong stuff. And we want to see what the Bible says. Now, obviously, these things can be discussed and people can have different views, but love needs to be at the centre of it, doesn't it? Yeah? Okay? So we're going to look at that. So here is what Jesus said about relationships. Now, last week we learned about marriage. This week I'm going to talk about identity. And next week we're going to talk about living as a single, singleness, because God does call some to live single lives. And that can be a high calling and a good thing. But we'll talk more about that next week. But this is what Jesus said about relationships, okay? Haven't you read, he replied. And we go back to the garden, as we did at the beginning. that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female. He said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Okay, now, if you go back to some teaching we did a little while ago, we talked about covenant. Okay, now covenant is a promise made between two parties that is binding. Now, when you talk about God's covenant, he will never fail on his part. We fail as humans. If you go back in these scriptures, when Abraham made a covenant, there was a shedding of blood. Okay, he killed some animals, sacrificed them to God, and that covenant between Abraham and God was made. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins and he shed his blood to seal a covenant, a new covenant with us for the forgiveness of sins. So there's always a shedding of blood. Now, the sexual union in marriage, when two people come together, is a sealing of covenant because it's the same kind of thing. So when two people come together, it binds them. That's why we have the marriage ceremony, but then afterwards, the sexual union is that binding. So there is a spiritual tie. Does that make sense? So a lot of people see this as a physical act only. And sadly today, many just think it's something that we can do, like we need to fulfill it just like every other human desire. But actually, it's something spiritual as well. Does that make sense? And that's why it is so important that we understand it, you know? And so I'm going to do a little activity. You're going to have to... Are we all right with not being embarrassed this morning? Can I get a few people out front? Maybe a married couple who are secure in their marriage would help me. I don't know if I can get two people to come and stand here and help me. I'm going to show you this because it gives you a bit of a picture. You're going to do it? Come on, just do it. Yes, that's fine. Dave, well done. Hello, thank you. Right, okay. So imagine these guys were not yet married. Okay, and they're going to get married, okay? So they get married, you can hold hands. You love each other, thank you, great. All right, so they're getting married. Now, just imagine, let's go for three guys. I need three other guys. Just three guys. It's all right, don't be embarrassed. It's all right, we're just going to say imagine. Zach's going to help me. Trevor's going to help me. Yes, Dan's going to help me. Okay, now just imagine, this is not real. Just imagine, Helen had had some relationships before she got married. And then maybe two ladies who will help me. I've got two of them. Come on. And let's have the worship team now. The worship team. But can I show you a picture here? So these two are going to be bound together in a marriage, tied to one another. But then they have had relationships before that marriage with other people. So what is going to happen to this tie with all these other ties? She's going to be pulled by all these previous ties, he's going to be pulled, and it's going to pressure here. And honestly, if you wanted to extend this, imagine other people tied to these people and tied to these people. We're all tied together then. And that's not God's best for us. And it's actually damaging. Thank you, guys. You can go. Well done for overcoming your embarrassment. Right. Do you get the point? It's a really important thing to do. And I remember talking about this in classrooms at school and trying to demonstrate this to young people. And the lights went on. Because really, you know, let's put this bluntly. People in schools talk about body counts. The amount of people they can have been with. That's wrong. It's not helpful for anybody. And when you understand this, you understand why not. And you can say it's because it's not just physical, it's spiritual. And it ties us together. And if we do that, it can be damaging. Yeah? So guys, please. And God's not someone who is wanting to spoil fun. He doesn't just go, oh, well, this thing I've given them, and now I'm going to spoil their fun. That's not what he's saying. He's saying this is a wonderful blessing to tie two people together in a family union for the sake of their love for one another and to build a family. It's a wonderful thing. But it's not to be used outside of that context, in one sense. Does that make sense? And so it's part of a covenant relationship, and it bonds two people together. I'm going to read you another scripture. It's not on the board. This is from Corinthians. And did I put the scripture down? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:15-17. It says, do you not know your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Okay, this is a difficult scripture, I know. These things are a little tricky for us to talk about this morning, but they're important. Okay, and I could avoid it, but I don't think we should, because I think it is the issue of our day. Everything you watch on TV, all the music you listen to, is all about this stuff. Yes? It's true. And then we in church go, we better not touch that one. But this is what's happening in our world, okay? And so with that scripture, we see that if you're united with the wrong thing, if you make yourself one with the wrong stuff, it leads you in the wrong way. It pulls you in the wrong direction. Does that make sense? And so then, what should we be united with? With Jesus. Yeah. And our identity then is found in him, who says, we're going to come back to you, this, you're a child of God, and all those other wonderful things he says about that. Now, this morning, I just want to show that God has grace. If things have gone wrong in our lives, if we've had wrong relationships, God doesn't just go, well, that's it, you know, you're done. He goes, I love you, come back to me, repent, I will heal you, I will cleanse you, and I will restore you. Because I know there's things in my life I look back on and I go, I wish I hadn't done that. But do you know what? God has forgiven. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. And he can restore. You know, broken relationships can be made whole, broken hearts, all of those things. And that's what he wants to do in our life. So I don't want anyone to sit and go, I'm condemned, I've screwed it up. You're loved, and he wants to restore. And he wants to make relationships right. Okay. So, God's not trying to spoil your fun. He designed us for a sexual union. That's okay. And it's a blessing and it has a purpose. And that's to unite people together for the growth of a family and to tie two people together in a love bond. Okay. And we don't want to tie ourselves with the wrong things because they can be damaging to us. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And now I'm going to show you a video. Because we're going to move on to the next thing, which is, so who am I? There's a video from The Chosen. I'm going to pull these curtains. I want you to really be able to see this video. It is so powerful. It's the scripture from, where was it from? John chapter 4, where Jesus meets the Samaritan woman. Okay? And it is so powerful. I watched it again the other day. I cried. I hope it moves you, because this is the way Jesus deals with us when we're broken, when we need his touch, when we've messed up. So let's watch. Wow. I don't need to say too much more, do I? Isn't Jesus amazing? Obviously, this is an interpretation, you know. Some might not be absolutely about everything that's there, but it shows us Jesus. It shows us grace and truth, doesn't it? The way he dealt with this lady was incredible, wasn't it? The love he showed her. And what happened first? I mean, when we're thinking about these issues, there are communities the church has rejected, and we don't know what to do. But maybe we do what Jesus did. We build a relationship first, and then we say, you need to change. But it starts there, doesn't it? And this is what Jesus did, and he changed people. They were transformed. That woman's life in that moment was transformed. He crossed all the racial boundaries because she was Samaritan, he was Jewish, he shouldn't have spoken to her even, but he chose to go there and find that woman. He crossed the gender boundaries, of course. I mean, guys and women, women weren't seen as equals at that time. There was all kinds of things. You know, he shouldn't have been seen alone with a woman. He broke all of those rules. Okay? And Jesus doesn't see the things we create sometimes as barriers. And maybe we need to see the barriers we've created for ourselves to get to God, one, but between us and others. Okay, so the woman then had revelation, didn't she? What was it that changed her? It was when Jesus said, go bring your husband. I don't have a husband. And then he pointed, he knew her life, and that's the truth for all of us. He knows our lives. He knows the deepest, darkest secrets. But he loves us anyway. Yeah? That's why he went to the cross. Okay? And she understood who she was then. As he explained things, she understood that God loved her, that he was kind and not judgmental, and that she was accepted and she had a purpose. Isn't that what we all need? I do, for sure. And so change comes when people's hearts are changed by God. And your identity, she was wandering around in her life. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know where to turn. She was trying to fill the void with other men, wasn't she? She was trying to fill the gap because she felt lonely. But what happened in the end? Jesus came. He filled the gap. He showed her who she was. He said, "This is who you are. You're my daughter. And no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, I love you." And I want to challenge us this morning. One of the statements in the world now is love is love. And love is love, but we need to define it. And love is spoken about by Paul. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. All of those things. But then also, love is demonstrated where? Most fully on the cross. Jesus died for us. It was a self-sacrificing love. He said, "I'm going to lay down my life for my friends." Okay? And how much of love out there says that today? How much says, "I'll give up my agenda, my wrong desires, because I know that God loves me and he wants the best for me, and then I can love others better." Yeah? And that's what it's about. That's who you are. And so finally, we're going to finish and we're going to have communion in a minute. Who are you? I've got a list. I think I'll put a list up. This is who you are. It's a little small. I could give you scriptures for every one of those. I haven't written them up. If you want one, come and see me. I'll give you one. You're a child of God. 1 John 4 says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on you that you are a child, you are called a child of God." And that is what you are. Primarily, your identity is he made you. He made you simply for the joy of knowing you, and he loves you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And that brings me to that final point. God doesn't make mistakes. You know, we look at our bodies and we look, maybe you look in the mirror and you go, "Goodness me. You know, look at the blackness in my eyes," or whatever you might look at. But you know what? God doesn't see that. God sees you as beautiful and beloved. And he never makes mistakes. Okay, you are accepted. You have a purpose. You know, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans not to harm for you, plans to give you hope and a good future." Okay, he delights in you. I think it's in Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, where he says, no, it's not Zechariah, it's another book. Anyway, where he says, he takes great delight on you. He sings over you. Isn't that amazing? Another scripture, you're the apple of his eye. So this morning, if you're struggling and you're not sure who you are, Jesus came and died on the cross to say who you are. You are loved. He loves you that much. He gave his only life, his life for you. And he wants a relationship with you. And when you have a relationship with you, just like the woman at the well, you will know. You'll go out there, "Come meet the man who told me everything I ever did." Isn't that amazing? I mean, astounding, really. Okay, we're going to move into a time of communion now. And as we do that, I want us to just think about how we united with God. Now, we talked about unity in relationship. I'm not sure whether this worked, but I stuck two pieces of paper together earlier with glue to kind of show that what happens when we're united with someone and it's the wrong uniting. And when we do that, like bits of each other, actually it's worked very well, can you see? Bits of each other get stuck to the other person. In fact, I can't even really get that apart now. I've got glue all over my hands. But look, you see that? And so that is what happens when you're united with the wrong things. And so this morning, as we share communion together, I want you to think about, I want to be one with God. I want my relationship with Jesus to be the primary thing. And so we're going to do that. Maybe we can bring this out. We're going to take communion out to the kids this morning. And they're going to share it here, but we're going to share it here. So we'll bring this out, and then we'll pray, and that'll be our response. I wonder whether someone can help me carry this forward.